We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
It's 12:37. Mostly clear skies we're seeing across central and southeast Illinois through the morning hours. Temperatures across the area at 10 this morning range from 63 degrees at Danville to 74 at Springfield. The upper-level low pressure has pushed northeast from the Midwest, allowing skies to clear around the area. However, a strong cold front races southeast across Illinois this afternoon. Strong northwest winds will follow the cold front, with a wind advisory in effect this afternoon for areas north of a line from central Iowa to central Illinois. A brief warm-up is expected ahead of the front, along with isolated showers and thunderstorms over Indiana, Wisconsin, and the northeast half of Illinois during the afternoon. Large high pressure over the Pacific Northwest will settle into the Midwest late this week. That will bring drier and cooler weather along with more sunshine. High temperatures today will range from the upper 50s and lower 60s over northern Wisconsin to the mid-80s over southern Missouri, southern tip of Illinois, and western tip of Kentucky. Low temperatures tonight will be in the upper 40s to low 50s all across the Midwest. The rest of today around Champaign-Urbana, we're looking for increasing clouds, scattered showers. The high 75 degrees. Temperatures will fall into the 60s later on. Windy conditions. West winds 15 to 20 miles an hour, increasing northwest to 25 to 30, gusts up to 45 later on today. Partly cloudy tonight, the low 48 degrees, also a windy evening. Northwest winds 20 to 25 miles an hour, gusts up to 35. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, cooler, the high 62 degrees, windy. Northwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour, gusts up to 35. Friday night, mostly clear skies with a low of 42 degrees, north winds 10 to 15. For Saturday, sunny skies, the high 60 degrees. Saturday night, Sunday, mostly clear skies, the low 38, the high 65. Clear skies Sunday night, the low back up to 45 degrees. For Monday, sunny skies, the high 72. Partly cloudy Monday night, the low 48. Tuesday through Wednesday, mostly clear skies, we'll have a high of 75 and the low back up to 50 degrees. 72 at Bloomington, 73 at Danville, 78 at Mattoon, 75 in Rantoul. It's up to 80 at Willard Airport. On France Plaza, we have 75 degrees, the barometer at 29.73 inches. It's 12:40. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert. The head of the European Commission has renewed calls for a tax on financial transactions. He said yesterday it's time for banks to step up and contribute to solving Europe's debt crisis. But Europe's financial center lies in London, and as Vicky Barker reports, the British government is likely to veto such a plan.
If adopted, a tax of 0.1% would be levied on all transactions between financial institutions where at least one entity was based in the European Union. EC President José Manuel Barroso has said the tax could raise about $75 billion a year. Bank stocks across Europe fell after Barroso's speech. Claude Moraes is a European lawmaker from Britain's left-leaning Labour Party. He says Barroso is expressing the will of the European people.
It's a step in the right direction because people don't feel the banks have paid for this crisis. The bonuses are still being paid, the banks are still doing well. This is not good enough.
Most of Europe's banking transactions move through London. City officials claim they'd end up paying about 80% of all the revenues raised by the tax. Britain's Conservative Prime Minister David Cameron has said he'd only support the measure if it was enacted globally. Since the U.S. has firmly rejected similar proposals, that's highly unlikely. Katinka Bayrisch is with the London-based think tank the Centre for European Reform. She says British opposition leaves supporters like Germany and France with limited options.
The only way you could get this through the EU machinery is if you restricted it to the Eurozone countries, i.e. only those countries that are in the Euro but not Britain, for example.
In fact, Barroso has suggested that as an alternative. But several analysts have already pointed out that imposing the tax only in Eurozone countries would likely just prompt banks and investment houses across mainland Europe to up stakes and move to the UK. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
It's 12:42. Maureen Ryan is giving her remote and DVR a workout these days. The woman from suburban LaGrange is the TV critic for AOL News, and this is premiere season. Ryan says the broadcast networks unveiled a number of new one-hour dramas and half-hour sitcoms for the new season. She took a break from The Tube to talk about the premiere season with Illinois Public Radio's Brian O'Keefe.
There are a number of hour-long dramas that are added to the schedule this fall, and we've always heard in the past, those hour-long dramas, they're just too expensive.
Yeah.
What's bringing them back?
I think a need, the networks have perceived a need to make a splash. Basically, you know, the economy contracted the last few years, and especially right after that, there's a writer's strike in 2007, then the economy kind of cratered. Both of those things, I think, caused the networks and the studios to kind of circle the wagons and do the same old stuff, you know, shows that were done on a budget or shows that were the same old formulas. And I think they all crashed and burned for the most part. So, and, you know, people have so much competition for their eyeballs now. You can not only, you're not only competing with what else is on the other broadcast networks, you're competing with cable, you're competing with gaming, you're competing with what's on Netflix. You know, you can get thousands and millions of hours of TV and movies there. And online as well. So there are all these different ways that all these different things competing for people's attention. So I think really what's heartening to me is that people are breaking out of the box a little bit with both comedy and drama. There are different formats. There are different voices. There are different big concepts. You know, one of the shows I'm excited about for that's coming around in October is something called Once Upon a Time. It's a big gamble by ABC. It's basically half of it is set in a storybook world. Half of it is set in like a modern day town where there's just strange things happening. And it's just a huge concept. And it's one of those things that could be very divisive. But I'd much rather have a divisive big idea that's actually executed pretty well than just the same old stuff that, you know, the very tepid fare that we've been getting in recent years.
So I hope this question doesn't sound too hopeful. but does this suggest that the reality TV candle is not burning so brightly?
No, I'm not sort of stringently anti-reality. There's some of it that I like, and I think there's, you know, things like The Amazing Race. You know, that's a family program. That's certainly fine for, you know, if that continues forever, I'll be happy with that. Project Runway, things like that. But I think the talent shows, they're big money. They are huge amounts of money. And, you know, NBC had a hit with The Voice this past spring. And that really, I think, in some ways turned around the network. So that will never go away. I think it's basically, it's just one more genre, one more slot that they have to fill. I don't think it's really going to take over. But if you look at the Nielsen stats for the last 10 years, I just was glancing at something on their website. And it basically said that, you know, the percentage of viewership that reality is taking has been on the increase for 10 years. I think it's kind of plateaued out, but it'll never go away.
So the other thing I'm curious about, because we're having this discussion sort of on the cusp or right after the beginning of the fall premiere season.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me also that with the volume of television outlets now on your cable or DirecTV or however you get your satellite service, premiere season is not limited any longer and hasn't been for years.
Yeah,
not limited to the fall. Has that kind of taken some of the fire or some of the excitement about fall premiere season out of the mix?
I think it has, but I don't necessarily know if that's a bad thing. You know, because I think the networks, you know, basically what they want to do with fall is really get people excited, as you say, and they tie up a lot of their promotional budgets into those big launches and the premieres. But the downside of that is that if they have 8 shows premiering, they can really only do a huge push and put them on billboards in the side of buses for maybe 2 of those shows or maybe 3. So then the rest can maybe get lost in the shuffle. you know, is that the end of the world? If one of the shows that gets lost in the shuffle actually turns out to be a sleeper hit or a cult following, it's not the end of the world. But I think if, you know, to me, it makes sense to kind of get that initial excitement, but then kind of keep it going. And quite honestly, some of the networks purposely schedule things for, say, October or January, just because it's so crazy now in September. And also people are returning to school. They have a lot of different commitments that kind of re-engage in the fall, that it makes more sense for them to kind of roll these things out throughout the year. And certainly from my perspective, I prefer that because it's a crazy time, you know, with the broadcast networks and with cable. There's really only maybe 2 to 3 weeks in the year that are fairly dead TV-wise in terms of new premieres and rollouts.
So the other thing I wonder about is if we are seeing, if you see this year, this fall, and sort of the new crop, I'm going to reference something that probably shows my age, but something like Twin Peaks, that it didn't, it had as much buzz as it had viewership initially. Is there anything like that this year that has a ton of buzz and yet maybe doesn't have the many as many eyes on it right now?
One of the bigger buzz factor shows for the fall was New Girl with Zooey Deschanel. And, you know, they gave that show away online. The pilot for that show is available on iTunes, on Hulu, on Fox.com. They really pushed it in that sense all over the place. And to me, that was a really interesting gamble because they were, the Fox executives have now said they were prepared for the ratings to be low or depressed to some degree because of that. They were actually great ratings and the show did better than Glee that particular night. So I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like there's nothing out there that's going to be as polarizing as a big concept like Twin Peaks, or maybe not as big a hit as Lost was, but there could be some sort of respectable doubles, if you will. That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Maureen Ryan is the TV critic for AOL News. She spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Brian O'Keefe.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from the U of I Office of Public Engagement, supporting the Campus Charitable Fund Drive. Each year, contributions from U of I employees on the Urbana-Champaign campus help support 11 social service agencies and other nonprofit organizations. Information on how to give is on the web at ccfd.illinois.edu.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 29th of September, 2011. Today is Michaelmas, the feast day of the Archangel Michael in the Christian world, a very important day in times past. It fell near the equinox and marked the fast darkening of the days in the northern world. It was the end of the harvest, the time for farm people to calculate how many animals they could afford to feed through the winter and which ones would be sold or slaughtered. It was the end of the fishing season, the beginning of hunting, the time to pick apples and make cider. It was also a day for settling rents and accounts, which farmers often paid for with a brace of birds from the flocks that they had hatched that spring.